Spaces in Portland. Again, that's Friends of Noise Fest, Sunday, June 25th at 4 p.m. at Disjecta, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 25th annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music and Food Festival, June 23rd through June 25th at Lil's Albina Park in Portland. The Good in the Hood Music and Food Festival is the largest multicultural festival in the Pacific Northwest. This three-day music festival opens up with a community parade that travels through Northeast Portland and ends at Lil's Albina Park. The parade starts at 11 a.m. from King Elementary School on Saturday, June 24th, and ends at Lil's Albina Park, where there will be music, food, and resources while connecting people with experiences that strengthen unity in community. Again, that's the 25th Annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music and Food Festival, June 23rd through June 25th at Lil's Albina Park at North Flint Street and Russell Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Black Women for Peace 2017 Peace Festival on Saturday, June 24th at 5 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory in Portland. The fourth annual Peace Festival, We Stand for Peace, will feature music, spoken word, dance, and more from culturally diverse artists. Again, that's the Black Women for Peace 2017 Peace Festival on Saturday, June 24th at 5 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am your host, Joanne Hardesty, and it is my pleasure to be here with you. This has been a crazy busy week already. I don't know what's on your mind. I want to talk about, of course, we've got Good in the Hood coming up, starting on Friday tomorrow, from the 23rd through the 25th. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years that that festival has been taking place. And hopefully it will be just as fun, just as insightful, and lots of good food, good activities as it's been in all my time here. I think what's going to be different about this year's Good in the Hood is all the incredible Portland musicians who are no longer with us that we've had the pleasure of hearing over the years. It's hard to go to the Good in the Hood and not expect Janis Scroggin to be playing, or Linda Hornbuckle. And just heard this week that Thera Memory passed this week as well. So it's a new era of music in Portland area, but I am definitely going to miss these legends who just really put Portland on the map when it came to its music scene. And so that's one, good music, lots of fun activity at Good in the Hood. I had the privilege earlier this week of spending 3 hours with John Slaughter on air at X-Ray Radio on Monday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. People of color took over the airwaves at X-Ray, and it wasn't a hostile takeover. It was an ask that was granted. I give all the credit to my friend Joseph Santos Lyons for making that happen. And it was a really excellent program. Props also go out to Jefferson Smith for giving up his airwaves for the day. And I think hopefully X-Ray listeners had an opportunity to hear directly from folks most impacted by a lot of the issues that we talk about on the airwaves that day. And if you didn't hear it, I understand that there are podcasts. You can download it and listen to it at your convenience. And then Monday, I had the real pleasure of having a conversation with Naomi Klein, who is at Powell's Books in Beaverton. And she was there to read from and have a conversation about No Is Not Enough, her latest book, Resisting Trump Shock Politics and Winning the World We Need. And it was standing room only. It was a packed house. Lots of folks were there. And Kay Boo was there and recorded the program. And that program will be coming to you and towards the end of next month. It will be coming, and please look forward to that. And so this week has been really, really a week of lots of activism, lots of engagement. I want to put a couple of dates in your head as well. July 14th and 15th, the NAACP will be hosting Freedom Summer 2017. And we will be hosting this program at we'll be hosting this program to do two things. One, we will have an evening program that Friday evening, July 14th, of faith leaders discussing nonviolent direct action from a faith perspective. And so there will be a diversity of faith leaders and maybe a couple of grassroots activists really making the case for why their faith, their commitment is really to nonviolence and how do we engage with all the craziness around us, making sure that that's our value, that's our focus, and that's what we how we organize. And so that will be on Friday evening from 7 to 8:30, maybe 7 to 9, depending upon how long faith leaders talk. And I think some of them talk a little bit, so might go on a little bit, but we're going to cut it off definitely by 9 o'clock. Then on Saturday, the plan is from 9 to 1 to do a series of workshops that will be repeated, and workshops on how to organize direct actions from a nonviolent perspective using the principles of Dr. Martin Luther King. We will also be providing intervention training, how to de-escalate situations so that people don't feel helpless when they encounter either aggressive actions by people or under attack themselves. And so there will be workshops on how people can keep themselves safe and intervene if need be in situations that call for it. Clearly, we are at a space where we have to be mindful that there are people of ill will in our community who are attempting to make it unlivable for people of color and immigrants and other folks in our community. And it requires the rest of us to prepare ourselves to not accept that as a new norm. It is required of us to get the information we need to both keep ourselves safe, but in addition to that, to keep our communities safe. It would be my hope, as people are planning for National Night Out, that it shifts this focus from watching your neighbors to really engaging your neighbors, so that the goal will be that we're creating community and people actually know the people who live in their community. That's not a normal here in good old Portland nowadays and the surrounding area. If you'd like to join the conversation, give me a call, 503-231-8187, and tell me what's on your mind. I also want to say that I was really concerned with the threats around Good in the Hood, that well-meaning liberals have been kind of freaking out. And I just want to give you an opportunity to take a pause and think about the fact that communities of color are under attack constantly. As the head of the oldest civil rights organization west of the Mississippi, I can tell you that getting threatening anonymous letters is not an unusual occurrence. I can tell you that what we don't do is call the media or call the police or freak out. Because if you've been doing civil rights work for longer than 30 minutes, you will know that there is always pushback. There are always people who don't want equality for all. And so so I want to just caution people that I think when we give too much coverage, too much visibility, too much anxiety to people who are spreading hate, and they are so the fact that they do it anonymously, which means that they don't even have the courage of their convictions. They don't sign it and give you their phone number and say, let's talk. I think what you do is empower people to be more stupid rather than the opposite effect, which is what you want. It's just get people to just not, if you believe that, then just don't tell me about it. Don't do it in public. Do it at home. I think that's what we want. What we want is actually to not highlight or make that seem good or a opportunity for people to freak out. We need to just acknowledge that this is normal. I've talked to all kind of organizations that work primarily with communities of color since this stuff started appearing a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know of one organization led by people of color that hasn't received hate mail this year since the elections. Not one. I don't know one that operates in the state that hasn't received hate mail. And most of them, in fact, all of them, take pretty much the same approach that the NAACP Portland branch takes, which is that we don't help them get publicity. It's not our goal to help them spread the word about their hate. Our goal is simply to make sure that we're mindful, and we're always mindful. But that is the goal. The goal is to be mindful, but to not to give in to the fear, not to get all paralyzed by fear, not to allow someone who wants to spread hate to actually spread their hateful message much broader and much more wide, because we keep repeating their hateful message. I mean, and so I just want folks to think about that. Think about how that plays out, both in the media and in the minds of people who are prone to do racist, violent activity. We're going to go to the phone line. Good morning, Tim. Welcome to Cable. Good morning.
Good morning. I just finished reading a book by a professor that teaches at PSU, and her name is Joy DeGruy.
I love her. Yes, yes.
Well, the reason I'm calling is I was wondering if you could get her on.
She's pretty popular. What do you want to talk about with her?
Well, I just finished reading her book, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
Right.
And I was really impressed. In fact, I heard, I don't know, it's been a few weeks ago that I heard her on KABU.
Right. So she was already on KABU, huh?
Well, it was a speech she gave in someplace else.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a recorded speech. And I was really impressed with it, and I just thought she would be a good person to have on.
I think so, too. I mean, she's done some remarkable research.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was just my recommendation.
Well, I appreciate your recommendation. It's a great book, and it's very, very well researched. I will reach out to her and see if I can get her on. Does she really teach at PSU now? And I didn't know she lived
here
again.
Well, that's what it said on the book.
Ah,
So I don't know if she's still there.
I don't know either, but I will try to check that out.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I think we have to do a lot more community trainings coming up. I think we have to prepare community members to take care of community members. I continue to be amazed that we keep calling ourselves a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. We keep saying that, you know, Portland doesn't tolerate racism, yet at the highest levels of our government, I'm still hoping that our governor, Kate Brown, is going to come out with some statement and some plan on how to make sure that at least within our borders, within the borders of Oregon, that people can start to have a sense of safety. Because we're not feeling safe now. We don't feel safe when the police show up in their RoboCop outfits. We don't feel safe when TriMet's first response is, what we need is more police. We certainly don't feel safe when people are freaked out because of hate messages. And I think the more people who are engaged and participating in organizations led by people of color, the more people will not be surprised that these hate messages are just a part of living in Oregon. It's just part of the life of being a person of color living in Oregon. But does it stop people from doing what they need to do? No, it certainly does not. But again, it is not my desire to make races somehow the headline in the news. I'd much rather have the headline in the news be more about how regular people are standing up to hate. Are we going to go back to the phone line? Good morning, Mike. Welcome to K-Boo. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for your show.
You're welcome.
Hey, I've been doing this for a year or so, and I hope everyone's doing it, is using their power with their phones and their cameras,
right,
to witness, to bear witness,
yes,
to terror of all kinds, you know.
Yes.
But I live in Vancouver. I drive all around Clark County with my work, just residential stuff.
Right.
I go to the Southern Poverty Law Center website, and sure enough, just to double check what I'm witnessing, Clark County is a hub for KKK.
Mm.
And it's right on there. You know, it's always, there's such a small minority, but now with the Trumpism, they have gone out of their way to be more out there. And you may not see it in Multnomah County as much, but we definitely see it here on the roads, because they're all in their crop kicker trucks, and they're jacked up, and they've got their "Don't Tread on Me" decals, and they don't even need the Confederate flag anymore, which really upsets me because they're flying the U.S. flag.
Right. Yes. Actually, we see that here in Oregon, all over.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, that's becoming the new norm in Oregon.
Mm. Well, let's get them back underground.
Right.
Pressure on them.
Yes.
Under the slimy rocks that they deserve to be in. Unless they never learn underneath that rock, I don't know, maybe coming out, maybe they'll learn something, I don't know. But let's all on the road take pictures of these license plates and these trucks. Don't get yourself
in trouble,
scary situation,
right?
in trouble.
Don't get hurt.
So
no, I agree with you. You know, I was having this conversation with someone just this week. I said, what we need to do is start a website where,
yep,
we are posting the pictures and the license plate numbers of these white supremacists that we come across. So
and
that
they are clearly, and let me confirm, they all, let me confirm that, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn. I mean, I'm just kind of anonymous, whatever, right now, although I've been a member for 25 years of KBOO, but
yay, we like
this
hearing
is
that.
Real, and
yes, and, it is.
Let's not, like, you know, you know more about the threat, and that's thank you for your wonderful message that don't give in to fear. Fear is the only thing we have to fear, and that's
right.
True.
That is.
So be a little bold, take some pictures, and and don't get into trouble, but it's okay to let them know you're taking pictures too. But
yes.
Let's get it out there. So, okay, so my call out, please, people call in and you give your suggestions on where to send these photos.
Yes.
Southern Poverty Law Center site, of course, human rights organizations, and what authorities can be trusted with this information, anonymous or not, because nothing's anonymous nowadays.
Right, that's right.
Electronically. So your suggestions, and I hope everyone does this. They've got cryptic symbols on black and white on their trucks and bumper stickers and even a few cars. And I've looked online, and sure enough, they're KKK, they're white supremacists, they're neo-Nazi symbols. Let's get on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate your call. And let me also say that even in Oregon, the FBI is the one tasked with monitoring hate groups and mm-hmm. collecting data. But they get maybe 10% of the actual incidents. And so what we see online is just a tiny portion of what's really going on in our communities every single day.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your call and your actions. That's exactly what community members should be doing. Thank you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I love, love, love that suggestion. And yes, there are people who are starting to develop that database. And I love always to give a shout out to Jessica Campbell from the Rural Organizing Project, because when the militia came in and took over Harney County, they did an excellent job of organizing the community to stand up for their community, did a fabulous job of organizing their community, and they ultimately wrote a book that is available on their website. Rural Organizing Project, if you don't know, is a organization that organizes community around progressive ideas and actions in a very, very conservative community. They do great work. Jessica, keep doing what you're doing. So that is not only a resource, but a opportunity for people to really learn what happens when these white supremacists or these militia groups come to your community and try to organize. And in fact, they found a entry into that community simply because there are almost no public services available in Harney County. And so can you imagine calling 911 and there's no one there to answer the phone? That is a daily existence of folks in that community. And so when militia show up and say, well, we're here to help and we can help you with this, we will provide security. We'll help you get people to the hospital. It starts to sound pretty attractive until people find out what their real motivation is behind their action. And so we're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Frances. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Frances.
I've been thinking about something regarding freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ACLU and others have said that people who speak is hate, they still have their freedom of speech rights.
That's what they say.
And I have a hard time with that, and I'm just thinking this out here to ask you what you think about it, because as I understand it, you have freedom of speech, but you're not allowed to cry fire in a theater, a crowded theater, because that instills fear and panic.
Yes.
And to me, that hate speech can be likened to that.
I am totally in opposition to the ACLU's premise that white supremacists and other hate groups have a right to the public square to
instill fear.
To instill fear and to intimidate and to expound hate. I don't think hate is a human right. I don't think that that is allowable. So, I mean, it's not the first time I've been in opposition to the ACLU. You might remember when the OCA, the Oregon Citizens Alliance, was operating, the ACLU defended their right to be anti-gay, lesbian, transgender folks.
To me, it's the same thing.
Me too.
Crying fire in a crowded theater. It's
yes.
the same concept. So hopefully someday somebody will bring that to these courts and we can have a ruling that...
And this is, in fact, hate,
right? The same protections to hate speech.
Well, yeah, not in the current environment at the federal level.
Oh, I know, but, so far I've noticed, though, even Justice Thomas recently made a ruled in favor of the people. And I'm watching because it seems like every time some of these crazy things they come up with get to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court has pushed them back.
Well, yeah, so I mean, even
for the courts to hold the third branch of the government, you know, they're holding on so far.
Yeah, I don't have a lot.
It takes forever for it to get there, though.
Right,
in the meantime, all kinds of oppression occurs while we're waiting for the courts to decide. But at least I've noticed on certain things, when they finally get to the Supreme Court, the court rules for the people. So.
Well, that's not always true. I'll give you Exhibit A. Exhibit A is when they gutted the Voting Rights Act in the
right,
same week
exactly.
that they allowed gay marriage, right? So it was
right.
That was true. A very strategic move on their
yeah.
part, right?
Anyway.
So I don't share your, this is not my mother's Supreme Court. When I was a kid, the Supreme
well,
Court.
I agree, but I've noticed lately that if an argument is presented to them in a way that cannot be refused, they do accept it, but it takes a lot of very clever thinking and, attorneys who can present their arguments with no holes in them, because if they can find a way to get out of it, they will. So,
well, thanks for your call, Frances, and
right.
I agree with you. I don't think that hate speech is free speech.
No, I don't either, and I appreciate everything that you do. You take care.
You too. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Kristen. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning.
So happy to talk to you this morning. I have a few ideas, answers to the previous male caller's questions about what to do with photographs when you see racist stickers on cars, etc.
Right.
Rose City Antifa is one of our local Black Bloc groups here that's been tracking individuals and incidents of, you know, stickers on cars, flags, graffiti, all of that kind of stuff. And you know, when you go to look up what a symbol means,
right.
They're the ones that are doing all this great research.
Excellent.
You can find them easily online. I send them photographs of cars all the time.
Wonderful.
So, you know, it's terrible to see in your neighborhood folks driving around. And I want to add, too, since I am white, I think that I would really like to encourage other folks of my skin color to use that privilege to take photographs if you feel brave enough, you know, in an obvious way. Let other people around you see
yes.
what you're doing.
Yes.
Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what that symbol means.
That's right.
You know, the same way that if you feel safe enough to stop and watch police interactions with your neighbors every single time.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Talk to people.
Yes.
You know, I think it's, I'm always disappointed that I'm one of the few folks who will stop and do one of those things, to take a photograph of a vehicle or to watch police. But, you know, our skin color is our duty at this point, right? And just as important as reporting those things or letting those cops know that they're being watched is setting an example, I think, for folks that are around you to be brave enough to say, oh, I stopped from my day and I'm doing this because
that's right.
It's important. It's what needs to be done right now. So
it is. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yes,
yeah.
I do a lot of that training as part of the Know Your Rights training.
Absolutely.
And it's something that any individual can do regardless
yes.
of age, ethnicity,
yes.
anything, right? Ability is to take pictures when, or to just stop and observe when
just
police
stand on the corner.
Stand on the corner.
Yep.
Make sure that they know you're watching.
Absolutely.
And not be intimidated by them trying to get you to go away.
Yes.
And you're right.
The police will come harass you as well eventually if you're white, if you're enough of a pain, but it'll take longer than if you have a darker skin color. So folks, stand up and do it. It's your duty.
Well, and quite frankly, it is not illegal to observe police action.
Absolutely.
And so police will tell you it's illegal to film them. It is not illegal to film the cops doing their public duty.
Yep.
And they will try to tell you that you need to leave the scene. And like, no, you don't. It is not illegal to watch them while they're doing their job. So so you know, people just have to know enough about their rights to know that they will use those ploys to try to get rid of you.
Absolutely. And I diverted a little bit from the photographing hate speech to talk about cops, because they're so intertwined, aren't they?
They are. Yes, they are. Well,
go ahead.
When you have a Nazi on the police force who now has a clean service record because the last mayor didn't know he was agreeing to clean out all the Nazi memorabilia information from his service record, then yes. And then he is what? He's a head investigator now with the Internal Affairs Division, and it's Kroger is who I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's all intertwined. We got to take care of ourselves at this point.
Yes, we do.
One other quick reference. There's a Facebook page right now called Neighborhood Hate Watch.
Oh.
And it is about both documenting and then removing hate graffiti and things like that from our community.
Wonderful.
It has exploded. It popped up in the last few weeks, and it's got 575 members already. So go check it out, Neighborhood Hate Watch.
Love it. Thank you so much. Yeah. You are a wealth of information. Have a fabulous day.
You as well. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Well, I was a whirlwind of information, which was fabulous. All Good, Rose City, Antifa, has an extensive resources on their website about hate groups and hate activity taking place in the Portland metro area. And Neighborhood Hate Watch, new Facebook page. Join it if you want and see what resources are available there. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Dee Dee. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi. Just want to thank you for providing a safe community forum for difficult conversations and deeper thinking.
You're welcome.
On one hand, it can be very complex because, as ACLU is correct, something is principled if it's right, no matter who does it to whom, and it's wrong, no matter who does it to whom.
Right.
And we don't want to go down the slippery slope where we then are giving an excuse to be oppressed and to stop protest. And at the same time, there's hypocrisy in saying that you can put someone in prison or kill them because of them talking and set them up for conspiracy for terrorism when they're not even talking to another human being or even emailing or writing to another human being. And yet that talk is considered bad if they're whistleblowers or they're truth tellers of inconvenient truths. And yet provoking criminal acts, hate speech and terrorism is somehow allowed as free speech. So it's a really difficult, on some things it's very simple and straightforward.
Right.
And other things, there is some complexity there that we need to get beyond the black or white, all or nothing, simplistic hate talkers, to not be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm grateful that you have this honesty and this courage and integrity, and I wish I had more clarity on some of this.
Mm.
If you want to give more feedback, I was also going to let folks just know about watching police recording things, having uploaded to ACLU. So if anything goes wrong with your video or audio recording or of the camera, ACLU has a record.
Right.
And I wanted to let you know of something I had no idea about until yesterday, that in 2015,
state of Oregon created an office to collect information, file complaints, and follow up on any biased law enforcement. So that's ICE, that could be TriMet, it could be tribal authorities, anything where there's bias, color, religion, gender expression, national origin, citizenship, disabilities, et cetera. I would like them to expand it to whistleblowers and to political speech, but I want to avoid saying that then hate speech as a political act is allowed. And I wanted everyone to have the phone number of there's multiple groups. One is a Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute at PSU. And I want everyone to hear the phone number and get ready to write it down. I'm going to say it three times. 503-725-5221. Again, 503-725-5221. This is Salome Jamuku, the program coordinator of LECC. It's 503-725-5221. And you don't even have to know what agency of legal enforcement or under the color of law enforcement they were. You don't have to have a lot of details, but you can call in, email, and they will be very compassionate and kind and keep records. We need to also demand that the TriMet video recordings be saved for 25 years, just as this group has to save their recordings, their information. Right now, they can destroy it within 24 hours and not share it with the public. But if they're supposedly enforcing the law, like fair collection or immigration, things like that, then we need to make sure that they have that collected.
And so let me. The criminal, why do you think, say again why people should connect with the Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute at Portland State? Because my understanding is they are contracted with various policing agencies to provide a variety of research reports. But I have never known them to do anything around hate crimes.
Yes. That's they're, and if they have a complaint and problem, it goes straight to the governor and the Oregon legislature, so it has more teeth. It's an open political public record.
So only if the House bill that is currently making its way through the legislative body passes. Now they will be collecting data, but again, I mean, I think people are tired of people collecting data. What they want to do is do something with the data that they have.
And so much, unlike the so-called independent police review with the city of Portland, this one loves you and cares for you, is kind and respectful, can meet you at a designated place if you want. Just because the woman works, or this small crew works, has an office at Portland State University, and there's multiple organizations that they are with.
I don't see them as a resource for regular community members. They're research.
They do research, and they also train police. But the most powerful, the most important thing is they will collect information for complaints and investigation and for holding police accountable.
They are not responsible for holding police accountable. That is absolutely not true. Again, they are only researchers that collect data.
You're confused. There's different groups there. Talk to that, call that woman and that phone number. She just gave a half-hour training last night over the TriMet safety issues.
Right.
And I've got pages of notes. I can't summarize very well, I guess.
Okay.
But it's much more than what you're saying. There's multiple alphabet soup kind of organizations that they're with. And the most powerful thing is that there's nothing else, and this is statewide, getting these complaints and following up and making sure that things are done.
Well, I'm telling you, I think people should check out the, I would not raise people's expectations that the Criminal Justice Research Institute is going to investigate police misconduct, because that is not what they do.
That's exactly what she said. Now, maybe there's different groups from which she's associated with and her staff. And maybe so the narrow little sliver of pie that you're talking about is just that. But what she was saying is they do investigate, they do look for bias, and they do collect data, and they do follow up, and it does have consequences in teeth.
It's so
nothing else does.
I appreciate that, and I don't think that's true. It doesn't have consequences in teeth. They have been collecting data statewide for well over a decade. But
I'm talking about this new thing from 2015.
This new thing. Okay, well, I know what the new thing is. I just don't want people to have information that's not accurate. And so if you have a website that we could go to and check it out, that would be great. You could leave that with my engineer. But from what you've told me so far, based on my knowledge of the Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute at PSU, unless they have totally revamped and they're independent.
That's one of them. It's also the law enforcement contact, something else I would see, data policy.
Oh, the LECC, the law enforcement another data collection. But again, these are inside baseball people. These are not, and they're data analyzing. They're not actually researching police misconduct other than in the aggregate. They're collecting data statewide, and they can
look at particular cases for bias. There might be multiple groups that you're correct about this thing, but I want folks to follow up on, because what she was saying was exciting new stuff that's contrary to what you're saying.
Right.
And that's what I want folks to know about.
Well, I got to tell you, if there was something happening in Oregon that was holding police accountable for bias interaction with the public, I think I would know a little bit about it.
Of course.
Right? I think I would. But
that's your love and passion, and we count on you for that. That's right. Why, since it was new to me, it's something I've been pursuing for 11 years.
Right.
I wanted to share that.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it. I just want to make sure that once the public, I don't want to raise the public's expectation for solutions that haven't been forthcoming. You got excited last night because you went to this talk. Give us that phone number again and the name of the person.
SALOMECHIMUKU, Program Coordinator of LECC.
Oh, yeah.
Phone number 503-725-5221.
And where was the training last night?
It was with, I'm blanking out, about TriMet safety.
It was about TriMet safety, and was TriMet hosting it?
No. It was, I'm suddenly going blank.
That's okay. I have those senior moments too. They come up out of nowhere. Don't worry, it's all good. We've got the name of the coordinator. If people want to find out more, I guess they can give her a call and do that. But I'm going to do my own research and come back, and we'll talk about what's happening at the Portland State's Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute. That organization's been around for a long time. In fact, each community, all 36 counties, have their own local public safety coordinating council. And that LECC committee is the oversight for those individual county activities. So I appreciate your call. If you have anything else to share, please give us a call back if we're still here. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Daphne. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey there, Joanne.
Hey,
how are you?
I am good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to say, great job last week at the Naomi Klein event.
That was Monday, believe it or not.
Sorry.
It's been a long week.
I look forward to hearing the recording.
Thank you.
I wanted to, you know, as somebody who doesn't live in the city of Portland, I actually live in West Lynn. I wanted to just point out that we are facing very similar problems out here. We had, after Trump was elected, a lot of community members reported things like swastikas on their lawns.
Wow.
People being harassed on the street. And when they tried to report it to the police, they were told that it was just kids and they didn't know any better. And it was probably just a joke and the swastika didn't mean anything. And so we formed something called the West Lynn Alliance for Inclusive Community. And it's now up and running with about, 30 or 40 members. We had our first film showing of Black Girl in Suburbia at Westland High. We've started tackling the issue in the schools because we think that, you know, the adults on some level are going to be difficult to reach on these issues, but at least youth can be, educated as to why this is not a joke.
Yes.
And I guess my question for you is, given the fact that it seems like there's a common thread of police treating these issues as casual, as you know, of little concern, as a joke, what do you think can be done to reform the police, not just in Portland, because I gather that you can commit a crime anywhere in the country as a police officer, be fired, and then get hired again in another
police department,
police force.
That's right.
So how do we address this issue?
Well, first, let me just thank you for, rather than sitting back saying there's nothing we can do, for West Lynn community members to take some action to collectively do something. So thank you for that. I think it's absolutely key that every school, from elementary school on up to college, immediately have school-wide assemblies that talk about the absolute no tolerance for hate speech and really explaining to the education environments why that is so important to draw a line in the sand. With police, it goes back to who trains police officers. I've spent a lot of time trying to unpack how police officers are trained in Oregon. And here's what I know. They are trained in a way that is very consistent with how we train people in the military. They are trained in a way that looks and feels a lot like boot camp. And I know because I was in the Navy and I know what boot camp felt like. I know the mindset that you're supposed to be in to be a trainee going through a program like that. And so there's no, so after that, in order to be successful on any policing force, you have to incorporate the behavior of your training officers. And so we need to have influence at the front end of how police are trained. If we believe that we are training police officers to be occupying forces, then we train them like we train people that are going into the military. If we think that we want police officers who are community problem solvers, community conveners, community de-escalators, we would train them a lot differently. And so that's where it has to happen at the front end before they ever put on a uniform, because we have to get out of this they versus us mindset.
Exactly. But, you know, back to the issue of police getting fired and then rehired somewhere else. We had a police officer in West Lynn who wrote on his Facebook page, if you see Black Lives Matter protesters, you know which pedal to push on
your car.
Ooh, in other words,
run them over. Right.
We managed to get that police officer fired. It took a year, but we finally did get him fired.
Well, you got one up on us. We haven't been able to keep police officers fired. I'm sorry, what happened after he was fired?
That's what I'm saying. What happened after
he was fired?
He can go anywhere
and
get another job, probably in Portland.
Probably.
I mean, how can we make these police officers accountable? I think we should have something where we track officers that are fired for hateful speech like this, just as we do citizens in the community, and make sure that we organize ourselves, because apparently it's legal to hire a police officer who does something like this and not
absolutely
not hold them accountable in any way.
Well, and it's rare for a police officer to be fired for that kind of speech. Right, we still have a Nazi cop that's he's an investigator in our internal affairs division, because our last mayor didn't read the form that cleared out his service record of all his Nazi memorabilia activity and speech. All cleared out of his service record. So if you didn't know that Kroger was a Nazi sympathizer, you would know it now. And he still wears a uniform, and he's one of the investigators. So if he's an investigator and sent out to investigate an officer using hate speech, what do you think is going to come of that investigation? Nothing.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, so we got work to do. And I think you're right. I think the community should be very aggressive of reporting police officers who are involved in hate speech and who appear to be sympathizing with white supremacists, because that's one issue that we are trying to resolve here in Portland. Why is it that Jeremy Christensen had a police escort when he marched in a predominantly community of color on 82nd Avenue, even though he showed up with a baseball bat?
Yeah.
The police didn't think it was appropriate to arrest him. Could you imagine a black person showing up to a march with a baseball bat and not being arrested?
No.
Right? So, I mean, there were many opportunities for intervention before the murders happened, but the police made the decision not to intervene. And so I find it very ironic that it's very easy if you're black or brown to get arrested for almost nothing. But yet here you can be a white supremacist and really be aggressive in your interactions with the public and not get arrested at all.
Well, I just wanted to do a shout out to a couple of things.
Okay.
One is Lake Oswego for Love, which is another group that has been formed around similar hate crimes in Lake Oswego. And we have a Facebook page, Westland Alliance for Inclusive Community. I encourage people that are in our community to join it and to come to our meetings. We could always use more engagement at the local level on these issues to hold our police accountable.
Well, good for you. Let us know how we can help, because you're doing the kind of work that I think absolutely has to happen. And I'm thrilled to hear that there are a couple of new groups that are not just sitting back and taking it.
Yeah, and for those of you who live in the suburbs and aren't lucky enough to live in Portland, the film Black Girl in Suburbia is great. It was done by a young woman who went through the school system in Westland, and it shows the experience from her perspective, and it's great to show in your schools.
Yes, it is. There are all kind of resources for groups who are just newly forming, just trying to figure out, what do I do? How do I have an impact? There are so many resources that are currently available. I always love to tell people about Standing Up for Racial Justice Surge, PDX. Their website has a lot of good information for folks who are just trying to figure out, what can I do? What can one person do? There's education, books, videos, all kind of ways to get educated and mobilized. Thank you again for your call. Thank you for the work that you're doing. You're asking the right questions. And I wish I had some really easy answers, but the honest answer is, we've got so many changes that we must make. We just all have to figure out what piece we're going to take on and work as if our life depends on it, because it does.
Thanks so much for all your work.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
503-231-8187. Good morning, George. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Great listening to the show this morning. I always love your show.
Thank you.
Couple of things that I wanted to, I'm glad you mentioned the Montevilla Park.
March,
event,
right.
Mm-hmm. Because I was out there. Montevilla is my neighborhood, and I'm with East Portland Friends of Pacific Green Party of Oregon, mm-hmm. but I stood with Rose City Antifa, not even really knowing too much about the group.
Right.
And it's a very impressive group of young people that need to be considered defenders, you know, proud defenders of our community, rather than being tarnished or lumped in as anarchist radicals that are here to destroy everybody's front lawn or something. So, you know, I mean, that's really significant
right.
to me.
So these are groups of young folks who organize to just to bear witness and...
They're direct opposition to fascism. And I had no idea that they were tracking things as well as they were. You know, I've been taking photographs at all of these events.
Montevilla,
there was a couple of situations, some staging downtown before the Joey Gibson militia prayer rally. And I'm seeing these flags that clearly are militia flags. And I had no idea that this was the coalition that has coming together, or quite possibly formed already.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very, very alarmed. And it's discouraging to see the Christian icons incorporated into these and kind of perverted in these militia flags, that somehow they believe
mm-hmm.
they're doing the work of God in some pure race of some kind.
Right.
That's alarming.
Well, I mean, but that's not new, right? I mean, that's
right.
been, I mean, how much of our history have people used the Bible and religious symbols to expound hate? So that's not new. But
that's
I think
true.
What is new is that since the civil rights movement, these kind of folks did not come out in public, right? If they had their groups, they met in somebody's garage, somebody's basement. I personally think that we're seeing this huge uptick in white supremacist activity as a total response to Obama's presidency for 8 years. Because the whole time he was in, these groups were percolating and just couldn't accept the fact that there was a black man and family in the White House. And so I think
sure.
this is the backlash. And as my mom told me many, many years ago, anytime there are civil rights gains, there's always the backlash. And this is, we're living through the backlash now.
That's true. And you make a very valid point. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of touching on the fact that I'm not sure how much of our community is aware.
Yes, no.
Because I wasn't.
Right,
I mean,
right.
when I'm seeing these flags, I'm like, what are these flags? Why? Right. What are these colorful flags here flying in the wind next to the Trump flags? I mean,
right.
the Trump flags are obvious.
Right.
But, you know, these flags, I was like, whoa, wait up here. And so there was this direct connection. Well, that's been connected now to this network.
Yes.
Of a call to come and invade the West Coast.
Yes.
I don't think people are aware of this. But before I jump off, I just wanted to give a shout out to The Scanner. They've got a front page, Still Good in the Hood.
Yes, I
story.
Saw that. Yes.
And I just read that, I think yesterday I picked that up. And I'm so glad that parade is still going forward and that the hate group was not able to sabotage
right.
as they did the Montevilla parade. Well,
it wasn't, I mean,
just Montevilla.
But again, I mean, I think it's because white liberal Portland freaks out when they hear about somebody making a threat. I mean, people of color don't freak out about a unnamed, unanimous threat. Right? It is middle class white people that freak out, and that's why they keep canceling stuff. Folks of color,
I think it's intentional.
It is. It is. It's.
The last thing is,
yes.
I really, what we need. I'm
sorry, sir. I am so sorry. I am down to my last 7 seconds, and I'm going to have to take off. Thank you for your call. Again, this has been Joanne Hardesty, Voices from the Edge. I thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a fabulous day, and have a fabulous weekend. It's going to be hot. Can't wait. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Good morning. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO. It's 8:58, and coming up, Press Watch at 9 o'clock. Teresa Mitchell brings you the news you're not supposed to know in just a couple of minutes. At 10, Air Cascadia, and then at 10:15, Flashpoints. At 11, on Between the Covers, Kathleen Stevenson welcomes Victoria Stopiello to discuss her collection of essays, This Side of Sand Island, Reflections on Fish, Fins, and Finding Out About the Lower Columbia. And at 11:30, on The Film Show, a visit to the new Microcinema at the Portland International Airport, which features short films and videos by Oregon directors. It's 8:59, and Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell is next.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.